Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now it's time for Filani and Reamer on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
It's a bit of a role reversal for us, Chris. Usually when we're working together, you're in the big chair.
Yes, that's correct. Who was in this chair before? Because whoever it is has the headphones turned way down. There we go.
Now let's see. Let's do the Matt. Kalman. Matt Kalman.
Matt Kalman has outstanding hearing, apparently. See, guy can hear a pin drop because that was down pretty much all the way. As opposed to Ordway, when I sit in that chair after Ordway.
At 6 o'clock. It is, full blast.
Oh, my God.
Full blast.
I don't understand how that guy's got any eardrums left. That's what happens after 50, 40 years. How long's he been in the business?
70.
75 years of having sound constantly pumped directly into your inner ear canal. Yeah, this is a little role reversal for us. He'll put you in the big chair.
I don't like it.
Because I've got to be here for two shifts.
Well, not really.
Two shifts.
It's 4 hours, which is really one shift.
4.5 hours.
No, I'm sorry.
Because the NCAA tournament coverage doesn't start till 2:30 this afternoon. But I should get hazard pay for this. I got to spend 2 hours with you.
Yep.
And then 2 hours with Drellick.
You're wearing your Jack Daniels hat. You're ready to go.
I'm going to need some noon.
Did you go hunting this morning, you and Kimbrel?
I was
I heard your little
soliloquy at the beginning of the show here that I was needed to sleep in. I was awake. I was up.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you.
I was out last night. I had a busy Saturday night.
Oh, you were out?
Yes.
Oh, really? You're the only one who goes out on Saturday. Congratulations.
I'm the only one in this room who does. So, yes, I was out last night. I was busy. And the fact that I've got to spend 4.5 hours with you and Drellick and do two shifts because nobody else is available. Nobody.
It's a deep bench here.
Where's Mark James?
Unavailable.
Vacation?
Yeah. Well, when you're a star like him, Mark with a C, when you come up with a name like Barbados Bill, they say, Mark, take the rest of the month off. I mean, this is great. You've done your work here.
Belichick is Barbados.
Get it? Because he went to Barbados
during
free agency.
I know.
And B, Belichick, Bill, Barbados, all begins with B.
Right up there with the blow pen.
It's because they blow.
Right.
Just in case you didn't know.
Love the fact that it was Jay Leno, right? He's the one that would always explain his jokes.
Yeah, that's Mark James.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Gordinary Hayward, who's looking Gordinary. And Kyrie Irving. That's my favorite.
Barbados Belichick.
Barbados Belichick. I like Barbados Bill better.
Gordinary Hayward's not bad.
It's fine. How about Kyrie Irving?
I'm grading on a curve here, and it's a very low bar of all of them.
Gordinary Hayward.
If you want to really have fun with Drellick, you should have him host for his 2.5 hours with you at noon.
I think we should.
Because there may be more Drellick on these airwaves in the coming weeks.
I've heard that. And you're going to be the new Sunday morning show.
I don't know if that's been officially announced.
Didn't you just announce it?
I said there may be more of yours truly on a
You said it was going to be Church and Reamer.
Maybe. Maybe. You never know for sure.
Lord and the Radio Antichrist. The same morning.
I am the Lord. I don't want you to take the Lord's name in vain like that. I am the Lord. Things can change on a whim here, but maybe. The screechy voice may be blowing out your eardrums early on a Sunday morning.
Excellent.
Maybe.
I look forward to that.
It's a tough shift for me. I'm going to be honest, Chris, because, it's tough.
They asked. 7:30
wake up is tough.
They asked me about Sunday mornings, but they want consistency. I'm not around on a lot of weekends.
So busy.
Very busy.
Yeah, golfing down the Cape.
Virginia a couple times, South Carolina this summer.
Oh, you're going to all the spots. You're going to South Carolina in the summer?
D.C.
Why are you doing that?
Wedding.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want to be in 110 in humidity?
Absolutely. That's where I thrive.
I have been to South Carolina this summer. I've been to Palm Springs in the summer, which is not humid, but very hot. Like 125 degrees is a high temperature.
Didn't you just go to Florida too? How was that?
It was very nice. I had a very nice time in Fort Lauderdale. 2-for-1 drink specials.
That's good.
$3 Long Island iced teas, and you get a 2-for-1 special on
$3
top of that.
Long Island iced teas is what they used to cost at Fagan's on senior Sundays at Syracuse. It was a horrible idea then, and it's a horrible idea now.
It's terrible. Yeah, I would not be making many Sunday morning shifts if Boston had a $3
$9 Long Island iced tea specials. Yeah, for $9, you can barely peel yourself off the floor the next day.
And you have that just that dryness like in your throat because you're just so dehydrated.
No Long Islands for me last night, just beer, so I'm ready to go.
You're ready to go?
Ready to go.
You know, I've been pumping you up as a legal expert. I don't think you say that enough on
these airwaves. I think you've oversold it.
Well, how many hours have you spent talking about the Bob Kraft situation over the last month?
Only when I've been here.
Well, but when you've been here.
There's not much of a tie-in to what we do. For my main job, because although he does have big law guys defending him now, he's got the two guys from Quinn Emanuel. He's got the other guy that defended Jeffrey Epstein.
My man, Jeffrey Goldberger.
So he's got some big-time lawyers defending him now. I haven't really changed much in my thoughts on Kraft, even after the statement yesterday. It still seems to, in my mind, behoove him to make this go away as quickly and painlessly as is possible.
I agree.
Do whatever he can to keep the tape under wraps. And none of it, I really don't think any of it will play into what will happen with Roger Goodell. Goodell is going to dispense some discipline. It's probably going to be disproportionate to the crime here. I think it's going to be over the top because that's what Roger Goodell does. He wets a finger, sticks it up in the air, which way is the wind blowing, and that's the way he's going to go. And right now, even though there has not been the tie to human trafficking that law enforcement touted or hinted at the beginning when they had their initial press conference, there is still a strong push to punish Robert Kraft harshly here from the public outside of New England.
Well,
I imagine
that
that's echoed somewhat within the ownership group as well.
Well, I mean, I think that's been reported that owners are not exactly all that sympathetic for Robert Kraft's fighter, even though they probably should be, given what some of them may do.
Jones. That's why I would be sympathetic. I'd say, let's just, you know, take it easy on Robert. And if anything like
this pops up again,
we should just completely ignore it.
Well, you read that the NFL investigators are revisiting the Orchids of Asia Day spa again. And I think in addition to seeing if Mr. Bob Kraft has been by before this January, they may check, is there a Mr. Jerry Jones on your books? Mr. Arthur Blank? Are there any others that we know here? But you mentioned Kraft yesterday spoke, in quotations, for the first time since these charges were announced. He issued a statement of apology. Owners' meetings today as well in Phoenix. He is expected to attend. So, four paragraphs. It starts with, in deference to the judicial process, I have remained silent these past several weeks. To correct some of the misinformation surrounding this matter, my attorney made his first public comments on Friday night. I would like to use this opportunity to say something that I have wanted to say for weeks. I am truly sorry. I know I have hurt and disappointed my family, my close friends, my coworkers, our fans, and many others who rightfully hold me to a higher standard. Throughout my life, I have tried to do the right thing. The last thing I would ever want to do is disrespect another human being. I have extraordinary respect for women. My morals and my soul were shaped by the most wonderful woman, the love of my life, who I was blessed to have as my partner for 50 years. As I move forward, I hope to use my platform, with which I have been blessed, to help others and try to make a difference. I expect to be judged not by my words, but by my actions. And through those actions, I hope to regain your confidence and respect. I read that statement. That's Kraft trying to thread the needle. He's expressing contrition. He's truly sorry, but not saying what exactly he's truly sorry for, because he is going to fight this in court. I mean, he even says at the start, I want to correct some of the misinformation surrounding this matter.
Yeah, that'd be the traffic stop and the video.
Right. So William A. Burke, one of his attorneys who reviewed Kavanaugh's Supreme Court nomination.
One of the Quinn Emanuel guys. Yeah.
Bush White House guy. Statement Friday night. There was no human trafficking and law enforcement knows it. The video and the traffic stop were illegal and law enforcement just doesn't want to admit it. The state attorney needs to step up and do the right thing and investigate how the evidence in this case was obtained. So if you read Mike McCann and other legal experts over the last few weeks, they said one of the possible defenses for Kraft is trying to get this video surveillance evidence thrown out, saying that it was recorded under false pretenses, Fourth Amendment rights were violated. The traffic stop even violated Kraft's Fourth Amendment rights because he wasn't the driver of that vehicle and they asked for his ID and who knows what they were pulled over for. So it seems like the Kraft, even though he's truly sorry, is still going to fight this tooth and nail. I mean, that is a strong statement from his attorney on Friday.
It's interesting because McCann actually sees it the other way. He sees this as the precursor to a plea deal and sort of a PR strategy, softening the ground a little bit. And I think that, legally speaking, Robert Kraft may very well have a case. One thing that you find in any sort of criminal proceeding, and this is a critique that I've had of the media, too, and I was very much a part of it when I was at the Herald, we were always really good at covering the arraignment. When somebody, there was a crime.
Thursday for Kraft.
Horrific crime. And it happened somewhere, you know, there's a murder somewhere, whatever. They make an arrest. We cover the arraignment. And a lot of times it would fall off after that, the coverage. You certainly wouldn't follow up with pretrial motions. Maybe if it was a big enough case when it went to trial. But even a lot of these murder cases where the arraignments were covered, if it wasn't a high-profile defendant, an Aaron Hernandez type, a high-profile victim, the jogger, for example, out in Central Mass, there would be very, very little follow-up on subsequent court dates. Well, at that first stage, in this case, it wasn't so much the arraignment, it was the press conference, right? Law enforcement puts out, unchallenged, their side, their version of the facts, and it seems very, very compelling. It seems like an open and shut case.
We've been cooking on hot plates, sleeping on the tables.
Sure, but then what happens when you start to pick at it a little bit here? And Robert Kraft may very well be guilty of the crime that he was specifically charged with, the misdemeanor charge. There's been nothing at all linking anything of Robert Kraft or frankly anybody else involved with the case to human trafficking.
And if you read the stories like Bob Hoehler had in his long piece today, that those close to Kraft say what really is bothering him is the human trafficking tie. And
sure.
That really is the sticking point here.
Well, then wouldn't that bother you?
Of course. Oh, of course.
That
of
takes course. It up 10 levels,
yeah,
more than
course.
That.
Oh, of course. I mean, Robert Kraft, human trafficking. You do that Google search now, I bet you have hundreds of thousands of results.
And that's... that's, I think, the biggest part of all the misinformation, because I think that the state attorney is going to have a very different view on the legality of the traffic stop and the legality of the cameras. And that's going to be a fight. If they do want to fight this, that's going to be the fight. And in that fight, so goes the case. If that goes out, I think it wouldn't even get to trial at that point. A judge would probably say, without this, you don't have the evidence to move forward. We're done here.
Right. But even if if they do determine that, so law enforcement said we need video surveillance because we suspect there's human trafficking, and if they find out they didn't have enough evidence to say that and the video evidence gets thrown out and Kraft gets off on a technicality, we still know he did it, right? I mean, still he went there. He got serviced. If what the police say happened in the video did happen, it seems night and day. So I don't know. I keep going back to, and I think we're on the same side here, of why, if you're Robert Kraft, would you go to the wall and fight these misdemeanor charges when at the end of the day, it means nothing in the court of public opinion? It means nothing.
And I don't think it's going to mean anything for the commissioner
either. The personal conduct policy says nothing about guilt or innocence. In fact,
you don't have to be charged.
It explicitly says this has nothing to do with guilt or innocence. That's what it says. So it is baffling to me if Robert Kraft is going to take this to the wall. And you're right, we still have some time for a plea agreement to be worked out. But if you're talking about really saying the video was, you know, taken unlawfully or the traffic stop was illegal, it goes, really, we're going to go all the way for total exoneration? For what? It's not going to change hearts and minds.
Well,
it's not going to impact your discipline from the league, we think.
And he also doesn't contest any of the alleged facts other than human trafficking.
Right.
He doesn't contest any of the alleged facts. And he has very good attorneys. And they may also have a case. I'm not going to pretend to be an expert here in Florida law or the specific intricacies of what happened with this particular traffic stop and this particular the placement of these cameras, although they did get a warrant to do it. But the fact of the matter is, if he does win, if he does get the case dismissed, it's going to be, well, either shame on police and prosecutors for a sloppy job putting, or just a sloppy job putting it together. They may have charged it accurately. If the facts alleged are true, then Robert Kraft is guilty of the misdemeanor charge.
But
so
it also may be
it's not an overcharge. It's the way that they went about charging it and gathering the evidence. And it'll be looked at as he beat the case. He got off on not that he's innocent. That he beat the case,
so
that he got out on a technicality.
So what? So how does that affect? How does that affect the public's view of Kraft if he gets off on a technicality because they shouldn't have put those videos in there?
But haven't we learned that any of these situations, it really, the facts don't do a great job at changing people's minds, and it didn't happen in
the
on-field.
But the facts are that Kraft did this, right? We all think he did it.
I think he's probably guilty of the crime charge.
Right.
Yes.
So that those are the facts. So
the misdemeanor.
Right. So whether or not the video surveillance was lawfully put in there or put under false pretenses or not is a separate issue. Separate issue. The fact is he still went there twice, according to police, got service twice, paid the woman an $100 bill after the fact. I mean, those are the facts. So he still solicited prostitutes.
Right, but again, arguing it from Kraft's perspective, if you do want to take this to the end and have a trial or at least go through some of the evidentiary things, see if you can get the video thrown out, and if you can't, then maybe then cut a deal. Then the facts, what they have is one thing, but what they can prove and what they can prove with evidence that can be properly admitted into court is another. So if you think you can get, maybe you'll cut a plea deal soon, but it seems like maybe they want to go through at least some pretrial motion practice here to see whether they can get the video thrown out or the traffic stop thrown out. And if they can, the case is gone. If they can't, maybe then you cut a deal. He's not going to jail.
No,
even if they go to a trial and a jury verdict, or I guess the jury waived this time, so
right,
a bench trial.
There you go. There's the terminology.
He's not going to, as an elderly defendant with no criminal history, he's not going to jail no matter what.
So this is all about the PR standpoint. The legal stuff is nominal. It doesn't matter. So can you be contrite if you are still fighting this in the courts, which seems to be the threat that what Kraft's trying to do here?
See, I would argue, yes, you can, because it's, again, it's not just about conduct or what happened. It's about the way that a case is brought. And people look at that as technicalities, but that stuff protects all of us. And it's important and it matters. And I may agree with you that it seems like the path of least resistance here for Robert Kraft is to take some version of the plea deal move on and be done with it.
I'm going to now donate my money to anti-sexual exploitation groups, and this is my new cause. I'm sorry. I just don't know how we can be 100% contrite and come across that way when then your lawyers are fighting off on technicalities here.
But again, you call them technicalities. Other people would call them civil rights. They would call them legitimate. Criminal procedure was followed or not, and that's a question that needs to be answered. It also could impact the other cases here. I don't know how many of them took the deal or how many didn't. This is one of those situations where people look at it and say the wealthy and powerful get an advantage in the court system, and there's some truth to that for sure. But this is one of those situations where the anonymous guys are having a much better time of this because they can make this go away very quickly. Doesn't get anywhere near the type of attention, and end result for all of them, unless some of these guys have priors. Even then, nobody's going to jail. Nobody's going to jail after any of this. But Robert Kraft is going to get dragged through the mud here a lot more just because of who he is.
But going back to
his statement, being held to a different kind of standard, a higher standard as an NFL owner.
The longer you fight this, the longer you are dragged through the mud, so to speak. I mean, if you accept a plea deal and this goes away, then it's away. It's gone. But the longer you fight this, the more this is in the headlines.
I'm with you. I'm with you on all of that. I'm just trying to sort of look at it here from the perspective of why Robert Kraft might be doing what he's doing. I think the easiest thing to do would be to take a deal, move on, act contrite. I think it could very well, probably will very well, end up in a lot of positives because he has the resources to make positive impacts just through the type of money he can give and the impact he can have in using that platform, like he said. So I think a lot of good.
But he didn't say exactly what he's sorry for. He didn't say it at all.
I'm sure that Quinn Emanuel 1 and Quinn Emanuel 2, you're better at remembering the names than I am.
William A. Burke, the firms.
Yeah.
Jeff Goldberger.
I'm sure Goldberger's the other guy.
He's Epstein's guy.
Yeah, he's Epstein's guy. I'm sure
Burke
that those.
Kavanaugh, dude.
I'm sure those three told him don't make a statement like that. That is specific to the facts.
Because we're fighting this stuff.
He went just as far as he can
Still fighting it. And I still think to show true contrition, you need to go further. You need to actually say what you're sorry for. In order to do that, you can't fight it. So that's just where I fall down.
If you were guilty, but you felt that police had obtained evidence against you illegally, you would still, and you knew you were guilty, you did it. Whatever the crime is, you did it. You would say, well, the way they brought this case was bull, but I did it, so I'm going to fall on the sword. I'm going to plead guilty.
Well, it depends. No one's asking him to plead guilty. The agreement was he says he would have been found guilty in a court of law.
I would take a deal. I wouldn't fight this, and I know or I believe that the way that they brought this case, not the facts of the case, I know in my heart that I did it. I know what I did and what I didn't do. But the way that they brought this case is garbage. This is illegal on a number of different levels. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. It's not just about making arrests and getting convictions. You have to do it the right way. Again, these are rights that protect every single one of us. You would still cut a deal?
Sometimes, as a kid say, Volani, you got to take the L. You got to take the L. You got to take the L if you're Robert Kraft, because it just, just to keep going back to it. And I think what it is, too, is...
And a lot of people do, Alex. A lot of people do, especially people without the resources of a Robert Kraft. They take the path of least resistance, and, which
right.
is a play.
And I also think, too, you mentioned the human trafficking charges were trumped up here, and they bandied Kraft's name about, and he was the star of that press conference. He's the reason why this has been national news for a month now. I mean, it's human nature to want to double down and stare down your adversaries, if you will. And I think Kraft is a very rich guy who does not take kindly to being publicly humiliated, and he wants to win. He wants to beat these prosecutors for his own personal satisfaction. But in terms of what really matters to Kraft, the court of public opinion, the court of Roger Goodell, is kangaroo court in the NFL. I don't think that saying that, oh, the evidence was obtained unlawfully, throw out the videotape, oh, no more case, like, that doesn't affect the public perception. I don't think that affects the league discipline of Kraft, and it just keeps the story in the news for longer.
Yeah,
so
I just keep going back to, I just don't see
the risk reward.
I wonder if law enforcement had not quite beat its chest so much at the beginning with human trafficking, and it said, look, this is a misdemeanor prostitution sting, and it just so happened that because you could have put this out there a lot of different ways, right? You could have done a press release that said, we get these press releases all the time from the DA's right. offices. We arrested the following suspects in...
They wanted to make an example of crap.
Well, not only that, there was a Boston news station. I don't know
right.
if they were in Florida for spring
right.
training or just happened to be there anyway, but they knew to be at this press conference. And
before the charges were formally announced.
Right. Well, I would love to give them credit for just tremendous journalistic intuition.
Right, of course.
It would be hard to imagine that they weren't told by somebody, hey, Boston Station, you want to make sure you are here at this press conference, wink, wink. There's somebody that's going to be very, very relevant to your audience that's going to be part of this. So I wonder if they had taken a different tact, a different approach, if there might be more of a willingness to accept responsibility.
Yeah.
Maybe not. But the fact that they immediately tied it to human trafficking made that a very real part of the story, even though it seems to be no part of the case whatsoever.
I think that might make him dig in more. We're a little ahead of ourselves. I mean, the specific women who allegedly serve as Kraft were a 45-year-old and 58-year-old manager of the spa, or owner of the spa, rather. Both licensed massage therapists, both held Florida's driver's license. Certainly doesn't seem like they were held against their will. But the point that a lot of people have made, these anti-sexual exploitation activists and the women who signed the petition to the NFL telling Goodell to ban Kraft for life if the allegations are true, they say that even if human trafficking charges aren't filed, that still doesn't mean these women are there willingly. They may have debts to pay. They may have been coerced to coming over here. They don't speak the language. They say the vast majority of sex workers are still there unwillingly, even if they're not technically sex slaves. So, and that's kind of, as I've done more reading on it, that's kind of where I fall on it,
you
too.
You still have to make the case, and they have not, right? To this point, they have not.
No trafficking charges have been filed with this spot.
You still need to actually make a case, and this is why I really think you can thread the needle between contrition, acknowledging that you did something that you shouldn't have done, but also look at it and say, did they bring this case in a way that can and should stand up in court? And if they didn't, it's your right to go to the mat fighting it. And you can, I think you can thread that needle. I think you can do both here.
It certainly seems like that's what Kraft is trying to do. 617-779-7937. Dan Shaughnessy, a column in today's Globe, saying the Kraft saga is making it uncomfortable to root for the Patriots. And Shaughnessy also questions Kraft's fitness to remain the owner and operator of New England Patriots. We'll dive into that next as well with your calls. Reamer and Volani, Sports Radio, WEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launcher online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Now back to Belani and Reamer on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
You know, I spoke to one person who is sort of on the periphery of Kraft's inner circle, who said people have wondered, why not just plead guilty to the misdemeanor? No one's going to be that upset about it. I'm told that on one hand, if he takes the diversion deal, then from a legal standpoint, like you said, it's as if it never happened, and it seals the evidence. Doesn't mean it can't get out some other way, but it means it doesn't at least come from law enforcement. It's not an admission of guilt in a legal sense, even though it's essentially admitting to the acts that took place, that police say took place. It allows him to say to the NFL, you can't go after me as though I was convicted for a crime, because I wasn't.
It's ESPN investigative reporter TJ Quinn from This Week talking about the thinking behind Kraft and his side rejecting the plea deal, which would have made these charges disappear, but he would have had to have admit he would have been found guilty in a court of law. Michael McCann, you referenced his commentary on this earlier.
He's the best, by the way. Nothing against TJ Quinn, but I feel like Mike McCann.
No. Well, Quinn's a reporter. McCann's a legal analyst.
He's great, yeah. And he's found such a... It was one of those, like, I knew him when I started having him on my radio show in Burlington, Vermont, and he had like 3,000 Twitter followers, and this was the first Aaron Hernandez case, and there's always something going on with sports and law, and he found that niche, and then he got the big platform with SI,
and now...
Deflategate, yeah. I mean, it just is profile deservedly
then,
so.
Then you had all these sports legal analysts. It's like during the Mueller investigation, the Trump-Russia investigation, we've had a million political legal analysts, all these grifters latching on. It was the same thing in Deflategate, the Deflategate grifters, and now they've disappeared, except for McCann, who's still on it. He says this about Kraft's statement of apology yesterday. Although Robert Kraft apologizing doesn't obligate him to cut a plea deal, it reads like a precursor to one, and also a PR strategy to mitigate the fallout. The longer the case drags on, the more it defines him. Probably best for him to reach a deal and move on. So McCann agrees with me, Chris, and says, even though the video evidence may have been obtained unlawfully, they didn't have the human trafficking evidence that they said they did. So what, Bob? So what? It's a misdemeanor at the end of the day. Cut a deal, move on. Get this out of the headlines.
Yeah, I'm with you in that regard. I think about what I would do. If I were 77 years old, do I want to spend my twilight years fighting a misdemeanor charge in Florida? That is embarrassing and could get... Now, there's 18 different ways that the video could end up getting leaked anyway. If somebody from TMZ offers $1 million to somebody who has custody or access to that video, but if I make it more likely, then the video won't come out. Look, because the video is going to come out if this thing, if it's admitted and it goes to trial. That's going to be the centerpiece of the state's case.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I'm with you in that regard. I was more answering the question of, can you show contrition but also take the tact that Kraft has here legally? And I would argue, yes, you can. And I think it may seem like a weird needle to thread and wanting to have it both ways. And it's a technicality. Well, it's a technicality, but it's also his rights, our rights, everybody's rights when they're charged with a crime.
Yeah, but it comes across as doubling down, though. It's a little Trump-like. It's a little Trump-like. I want to correct the misinformation, fake news out there, unlawful videotape. They're out to get me. It's a little Trump-like, the doubling down nature of it all. Shaughnessy writes today in The Globe, being a Patriots fan has become increasingly uncomfortable. Kraft's strategy of fighting recent charges of soliciting prostitution seems to be a losing game. The authorities say they have video. Even if Kraft gets the charges dropped, he is unlikely to escape the wrath and punishing powers of NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. Meanwhile, his aggressive legal strategy is keeping the sordid story front and center in our daily news cycle. And then you have the activists who sent that letter to the NFL last week saying let's ban Kraft for life if these allegations are true. It just, I disagree. I don't think you can show true contrition unless you explicitly say what you're apologizing for. I mean, this was a relatively vague statement from Kraft yesterday.
I think that's very easy to say when you're not on the receiving end of it. I think if you were guilty of a crime, but the state was sloppy or just flat out illegal in gathering the evidence, I would think that you would challenge it. I would hope your attorneys would advise that, even if you knew in your heart that you had actually done it. It's not about what you've done. It's about what they can prove.
You mentioned the attorneys, too. Part of me wonders if Kraft is really lawyering up here because he wants to intimidate anybody in the Florida law enforcement world who would think about leaking this video, and also intimidate TMZ or other outlets who would think about running.
I think TMZ is worried about getting sued.
Well, Hulk Hogan shut down Gawker.
Yeah, TMZ hasn't been sued before.
I'm sure they have, but Hogan shut down Gawker. I mean, you know.
And I mean, if there's no protective order, and it seems like the state's not going along with the idea to help seal the tape, if there's no protective order, I don't know, would TMZ be in trouble for running it, or would the real person be the culprit, be the one who leaked it? Does TMZ have a little bit of deniability there if they are just, hey, yeah, we shouldn't have got it, but somebody dropped it off on our doorstep, and we dropped $1 million off on their doorstep?
Yeah, you know.
I just don't know that they're terribly worried about getting sued. And I don't know, I haven't looked at their books, but they may be in a stronger financial position than Gawker was. I don't know.
Well, you know, Harvey Levin and Trump had a falling out, so maybe Kraft wants to go after TMZ to do his buddy's bidding.
Yeah.
You never know that. What do you think about Shaughnessy's assertion that this makes it even more uncomfortable to root for the Patriots?
I've never felt discomfort in rooting for the Patriots.
Even after Hernandez?
No.
Even after deflated footballs?
Even after
Spygate?
Yeah, God, the deflated football scandal that rocked
Same
America.
Same level as Hernandez, I would say.
Oh, my goodness. I've never been living in this sort of delusional world that the Patriots are perfect or even better than anybody else when it comes to getting an advantage. And every team in the NFL at one point or another has bent the rules, flat out broke the rules, pushed the envelope, whether it be salary cap issues, pumping in crowd noise, whatever. And I don't hate those teams either for what they do. The Patriots get treated a little bit differently because they're better than everybody else in terms of running an organization and winning
and
games on the football field.
And they're kind of jerks. You know, Kraft has 283 encrusted Super Bowl ring to really shove it in Arthur Blank's face, or Belichick, of
course.
Yeah,
that was pretty great.
I mean, that's why. I mean, it's not just...
Speaking of TMZ, did you see Belichick?
I did.
With the...
We have to play that.
We got to play. That was great.
He's been training his whole life for that moment to not give TMZ anything.
His girlfriend was pretty good. She played along with it a little bit, too.
Yeah.
She seemed like she had a little fun with it. And he probably... I'm sure he kind of laughed it off when he got in the car, but... At the end, you know, at the end of the day, he's not going to give them anything.
He's been training his whole life for that moment. He really has. But just this team that continually doubles down, you know, and it's just, and I think that's Shaughnessy's greater point, that it's a team that never accepts responsibility. Oh, you have we're going to come out the Wells Report in context. We have these misdemeanor charges. We're fighting this tooth and nail. The video was illegally obtained. You know, Spygate. Everyone videotapes. It's just, it's why not just accept culpability?
But again, you can say it with the everyone type of intonation there.
Yes,
but it doesn't change.
That's my angry WEI caller.
Spygate. First of all, you're wrong. And if Shaughnessy said this, I don't know if he did. I didn't read the column. He's wrong. They did accept responsibility. They won. Bill Belichick stood up at the annual meetings and apologized for that.
Then you had Belichick,
they paid a
though,
substantial
at the Mona Lisa
penalty. Hold on. This is Spygate. We're taking these one at a time. They 100% accepted responsibility for taping in a position on the field where they shouldn't have taped. They paid a significant penalty in terms of a first-round draft pick and a huge fine for the coach and the team, and said that they did it. They didn't make an excuse, and they said, we are sorry that we did it. So that's that.
Well, hold on. That's not that.
No, that's after Spygate.
Years
that's
later,
Spygate.
At the Mona Lisa Vito Deflategate press conference, was asked about Spygate and launched into a pretty head-on defense. saying, listen, you have 50,000 people there. We all have video cameras. So, I mean,
I think, first of all that's accurate. Well, and he's being asked about it years later, years after he had already apologized for it and they've moved on. So I can understand his frustration in that. With Deflategate, there's a factual dispute there. They do not believe they did anything wrong.
And I say all that to say I agree. I don't think they did anything wrong with Deflategate. That was a witch hunt. Want to talk about a witch hunt? That was a witch hunt. I agree. They rightfully went to the wall for Deflategate. I don't think Spygate was all that big a deal. So I'm being partially disingenuous, but...
But you're saying it in your, I don't accept responsibility
for anything.
Well,
because this
saying
is just...
Saying your Callahan impersonation.
I just keep going back to, if you're Bob Kraft, just let this go. Breathe in, breathe out. Let it go. Start the philanthropy. Start the donations. And let's explicitly say what we're sorry for. And move on, because you look at the damage this has done to Kraft, you know, in his public image. Shaughnessy has it in bullet points in his column, so he gets the Genesis Prize Foundation award in Israel. That's basically the Jewish Nobel Peace Prize. But then a few weeks ago, an advisory board member resigned, citing frustration and disappointment with the board's decision to proceed with awarding Kraft the Genesis Prize. You have the activists. The letter with more than 60 signatures, the groups representing female victims of sexual exploitation, asking the NFL to ban Kraft, Markey returning the campaign contributions. You just have, I mean, Kraft's public image has taken a significant hit here. And the longer this goes, I think the more of a hit it takes. Even at the end, they go, oh, well, the video evidence got thrown out. It's like, yeah.
I never understood the I'm not going to take his money thing.
What? Oh, Markey?
Like, if somebody does something wrong, maybe a campaign contribution is different. But I was thinking more... I can't remember exactly who it was. Somebody did something bad. I know this is really specific.
Someone did something bad, yes.
And then tried to donate $2 million or whatever to a university, and they gave the donation back. Just take the money. You don't owe the person anything. You don't have to name a building after them or a lab or anything. Just take their money. Money and use it for good.
Well, if the person whose money you take, you realize, oh, they did something that goes against my values or my purported values. And
then they're acknowledged in the donation, not because usually it's like a quid pro quo almost, right? Here's the $3 million, and now it's the Alex Reamer Center for pleading guilty, even when you think you can beat the case, something
except
along those
culpability.
Lines. Yes, accepting responsibility.
Culpability Center.
Accept culpability center. The ACC, as
yes,
it's known,
the
much lesser known ACC. In
it's
this
like
case,
it's like the Reamer confession room on a Sunday morning. Let's tie it all in.
Take their money.
But so you sound like you're from the Jerry Callahan school, who's railing against these organizations like My Life, My Choice, the anti-human trafficking group in Boston that the Patriots Foundation donated money to. They have condemned Kraft, and Jerry goes, how disloyal. But I think that's good. That means that organizations can't be bought off, right? I mean, just because gives you money doesn't mean that you then can't condemn them when they do something wrong.
They're activists, and I think this station knows as well as any other that activists have a particular cause. They're willing to go to the mat for them. I think there's certainly a role for that. At the end of the day, it's going to be their choice whose money they take and what they do. I think that, and this goes back to Robert Kraft's the last part of his statement, he has, because of his wealth and because of his platform, the ability to affect more change than the vast majority of human beings out there. And I think the good that can come from this, and probably will come from this, is now, and you could say it's just PR, but it still could make tangible differences, tangible impacts. He can use that wealth and that platform even more so. I mean, he already has in his past, but even more so now in a positive way to try and affect change in that circle, in
right.
human trafficking and combating that abhorrent behavior.
But hopefully he goes a little further than just saying, I am truly sorry, I am hurt and disappointed, my family, friends, without saying why they're hurt or disappointed. Like, I think going forward, once this case is settled, he has to speak in a little more specifics about this specific case.
What do you want, play-by-play of what happened?
I want something a little less vague.
Why do you
want
to know why he did it? What the hell does that matter?
Or just I was never.
You know why he did it,
or why his thought process has changed. You know, why does he? How does he view these spots differently now than he did when he went in there in January?
Maybe
the
he doesn't.
The AFC title game
again. If it's not,
if he doesn't, then the statement doesn't mean anything. If he doesn't view it differently, and I view these spots differently now. I walked by plenty in Fort Lauderdale, $40 for an hour. I said no, thank you. I don't know who's in there. Previously, I may have gone in. It's a good deal. You know, you don't view these spas differently now, or this whole sex trade. You don't view differently.
It's something
over the last month.
Not really.
Really?
No, I wasn't that wild about it prior, and I'm
I'm not saying I'm wild about it, but I wasn't in tune. Like, I was reading a piece in the Globe. They call it the pretty woman theory, like this theory a lot of men have, where a lot of women in prostitution could do anything, but they just want to sell their bodies. And survivors of the sex trade go, actually, that's not the case at all. The vast majority of people working in prostitution.
I covered this at the Herald because the Attorney General had a major push to combat human trafficking. I've spoken to women who have gone through and escaped that life, and the stories were absolutely horrible. They were horrific. But I've also been told, again, through just reporting on this, and not everybody's experience in this industry and the sex trade is exactly the same. There are a lot of people that want to legalize it for that reason, regulate it, tax it, as they do in some other countries. I guess my view on it is not, and if there were actually human trafficking, if this were kind of the ugliest part of it, then it would be horrific for Robert Kraft to be tied into that. There's just no evidence of that right now.
Bill is in the car on this. What's up, Bill?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yep, we can.
Have either of you guys read the Florida statute that Mr. Kraft was supposed to have violated?
No.
Why not?
Have you
just
read
get to
it,
your
Bill?
Point, Bill.
What's your point?
You're talking about it as if you knew what it was, and I wonder if you have any idea.
Do you have an idea what it is, Bill?
I did stop and read it.
Okay, then please educate us.
Well, I don't have it in front of me. I'm going to lay it out. It's in the 798, but you have to be guilty of soliciting prostitution, you have to solicit.
Oh, really? Oh, you do? Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, thank you, Bill.
For example, when you give out the station's telephone number, you're soliciting callers to call.
Oh, really?
This is the derisive "oh." Your coverage of this is terrible. The first thing you want to know is, was there a warrant for those cameras? Do you know if there was a warrant?
Yes. They went in under the guise of a bomb threat.
No. Did the judge sign a warrant?
Yes. They went in under the guise of a bomb threat. That's how they got the cameras in there.
That's how they got the cameras in there. But that's not the same as saying the judge had approved them to put cameras in there in the first place.
They did get approval to put the cameras in. They were able to do that. Like, now, did they follow proper procedure? Are there things that the defense attorneys are gonna fight? Certainly. But that's how they got them in there.
My question is simpler than that. My question is, did a judge sign a warrant allowing the cameras to be placed? All right. And if they didn't, then that's easy. If there was no warrant, there are good lawyers in Florida.
Yeah, but the judges, we think, did, Bill. I mean, like...
Okay, good.
I'm not as smart as you think you are, I don't think, Bill.
I haven't followed this much.
Oh. And you haven't followed it much? Well, thank you.
He's been away.
Bill, stop being a dink, really. Look at all these papers. See, I'm crumpling... Look at these notes. Don't you hear them?
Police got a search warrant. Again, from what they've said in their affidavit, police obtained a search warrant. They told the spa owners, the people that were there, that there was a bomb threat.
Yeah.
And they had to go in and search the place. And when they did that, they put the cameras in.
Right.
But in their affidavit, again, we're going off what law enforcement says. This is what I said at the beginning. I know Bill's been away.
But
what I said at the beginning
of this.
But
he has read the statute.
What I said at the beginning of this. Well, he at least read that it's soliciting prostitution. You have to solicit, and there has
you
to be
did.
Prostitution.
That's smart. I didn't know that.
He understands the words involved. But the from what they have said, they obtained a warrant, said there was a bomb threat, so they lied to, which brings up its own set of challenges.
Well,
people have mentioned this when it comes to the investigation. If these women were in such horrific danger...
Right.
Why were they allowed to be there for months on end?
Why would you scare them with a bomb threat?
Right.
Right.
If they're already in horrible conditions, why would you then add the
more
fear that where
them.
They are could explode any minute, apparently, because people are threatening to blow it up? So those are legitimate questions that absolutely need to be answered with this. And I think that's where you're going to see a little bit more nuance in terms of how the case and how the facts of the case actually play out and how the evidence was obtained.
I thought what Bill was going to go with we need to know that what the definition of soliciting prostitution is, if there's no audio on these tapes, it's been serviced a possible defense for Kraft could be that there's no solicitation, that this thing just kind of happened.
Yeah, I think...
That's Wiggy's theory. Just kind of happened.
Yeah. It might be a tough...
Well, then he... is shown giving the woman a $100 bill at the end of it. But as Wiggy also says, you know, you give maybe grocery money.
You don't need direct evidence for a crime.
Oh, no.
Circumstantial evidence would...
You know, like 77-year-old Bob Kraft is just so... They just couldn't help themselves in there.
Yeah. And it, circumstantial evidence is enough to convict. And that would be... If the videotape is in and if it shows what law enforcement purports it to show, I think that might be a tough case to beat.
We'll continue to take your calls on this. Also want to get to another portion of Shaughnessy's searing column today, in which he says that this makes us question Kraft's decision-making and his fitness to run the Patriots. Oh, that's going quite a bit of ways. We'll do that next with your phone calls. Reamer and Volani, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now back to Volani and Reamer on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
First-time offenders often are eligible for a diversion program. If you plead guilty, then that means we'll just proceed to the sentencing phase. The not guilty allows him to participate in this diversion program likely, which then means that these charges at the end of it, if he does participate in this program, will actually be expunged. It'll be equivalent to him never having been charged. And I think what'll happen is if he's able to do that before the video is released, then he's free of the justice system. And there'll be less attention paid to the video at that point. There'll be still be some, but it'll be really a blip on the radar screen as opposed to prolonging it over the next 12 to 18 months.
First, for the mic's on, Alex. Another
does, yes.
Legal analyst on the Kraft situation. What I think is interesting is we've had Martin County Sheriff William Snyder. He was the original sheriff who was out and about when this first happened. The squalid conditions, hot plates, they're sleeping on the massage tables, no access to transportation, no stoves. He said on Friday that these ugly videotapes will be released. He says once the material has been made available to the defendant as part of the discovery process. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's not what he said. Here's what he said, Chris. Once a case is over,
fake news,
I have
geez.
Too many notes. I'm overprepared, actually, Bill, in the car. Once a case is over, it's not an ongoing investigation, Snyder said. There has to be a specific reason not to release a public record, and the fact that there is sexual activity is not an exemption. I think this is Florida trying to scare Kraft and saying, listen, we have these tapes and we're not afraid to release them.
Right.
That's what I think. Well,
it's the biggest and strongest arrow in their quiver, right? Because they're not going to, again, Robert Kraft is not going to jail. There is no circumstance under the current charge where I think it's even remotely possible, even if it goes all the way to a trial, he fights it to the very end, and a judge comes back at a bench trial and says, nope, sorry, guilty, bangs the gavel and shoulder with Kraft with no criminal history whatsoever on a misdemeanor charge, a day in jail. Nobody gets the maximum. That's like one of those, remember the Manafort? Everybody said, oh my God, he got so little. Talk to prosecutors around here, said, geez, that was pretty good. For the amount of time that white collar defendants usually get, that was pretty good.
Well, a woman in Texas unknowingly violated her parole, Chris, and spent years and years rotting.
I understand that I'm speaking more of the white collar type defendants.
Well, that's the issue. That's the issue.
And that's a whole other conversation
that I'm happy to have.
I was at a sentencing this week. Guy ran a Ponzi scheme, stole $38 million. He didn't even get the statutory maximum. In fact, he didn't even get the low end of the guidelines. He got 14 and a half years, but the guidelines called for at least, quote unquote, 17 and a half years. Nobody gets, especially a first time offender for this type of a crime, for a misdemeanor. And, you know, a lot of the people who do get locked up for a lot of times, it's because they can't pay bail. It's because of other issues in the criminal justice system. And that's, again, a whole separate conversation. But Robert Kraft is not going to jail, no matter what happens.
Well, Meek Mill, Globe had with this Waddle coverage of it. The Globe had a long piece yesterday. Meek Mill says he's spoken to Kraft multiple times since the charges were announced. And he said the point he's been making is, Bob, you think you're getting smeared by the police and getting treated unfairly? Imagine how bad it would be if you didn't have the resources that you have. That's the position I was in I violated my probation in that position. Lots of others are in as well. Shaughnessy writes this morning, in addition to saying this now makes it uncomfortable to root for the Patriots.
Which I disagree with.
I don't think it makes it any more uncomfortable than rooting for a team that had a murderer on it, that has brought in guys like Corey Dillon,
or how about rooting for a team
with domestic violence issues?
How about rooting for a team where the owner got pulled over with three stacks of high society and a suitcase full of pills?
No, yeah. No, right. I don't think this
driving under the influence.
I was already. You're already.
Is there a comfort level there rooting for the Colts?
Or just watching a game where players' brains get beat in? I mean, it is. You are. It should be an automatic.
Are you comfortable rooting for the Vikings? Their owner got popped on white-collar fraud charges.
Yeah, it should be an automatic that you are automatic. You are automatically uncomfortable watching NFL games. I think we all should be at that point. We're hypocrites. I'm hypocrites. I watch it. But sure, morally, I'm a deep moral person, as we all know. I am very
uncomfortable. That's why they have you on Sunday mornings.
Exactly. Yeah, Reamer in church. Yeah, listen to me and then listen to the Lord.
It's going
to
be the Church of Sports with Alex Reamer. That's going to be the Sunday morning show.
Yes. We should turn the studio into a mega church on Sunday morning.
And you could even follow along. Like, you could have one point where it's the gospel. And you just go on some sort of rant about whatever your particular cause of the week is.
I was a great singer in middle school. I was. So I could even sing the gospel, to be honest with you.
Usually you just say the gospel, but you could
sing it.
Okay.
We're Baptist here.
The homily.
We could do it
with
all.
With Alex Reamer.
Shaughnessy, what does all this say about Kraft's decision-making and his fitness to run the Patriots? How can an individual return to the same spa one day after getting pulled over by police and being asked to produce ID? Why would anyone attend Oscar parties just hours after a news conference announcing his impending arrest? How does this landslide of protest, meaning the activists and all that, affect Kraft's ability to run his football team? Kraft is clearly headed for another showdown with Goodell. Is this perhaps a good time for Bob Kraft to step aside and let his son Jonathan run the team? That's what Shaughnessy asked this morning.
How much is Robert... I honestly don't know the answer. How much is Robert Kraft involved in the day-to-day
right now? Yeah, I agree.
I think
he's more of a figurehead now than anything already.
I have no idea. I'm just... I'm kind of spitballing here. I wonder how much he's involved at the moment. He's certainly a visible face of the franchise,
he's sure. He's the figurehead of the organization. I don't know how involved he is in the day-to-day operation. He seems like he travels too much and parties too much to be involved in the intricate day-to-day operations.
It's also
of the team.
You want to talk about a turnkey operation. It's not one where you really have to, if you're the owner, get in the, wade into what's going on all that often. You got a guy who runs organizations, runs football teams better than anybody else that's ever run football teams before. So it's sort of step back and let him do his thing. And I think there's a lot of evidence, too, that most sports organizations thrive when owners kind of sign checks and put good baseball, football, whatever people in charge.
We had, the stopwatch out there to Bucky Jones, and he never made the same mistake again.
Syracuse guy.
Syracuse, there you go.
That's right.
Are you wearing your green earbuds for Syracuse today?
They're orange.
Orange earbuds, rather. Why did I say green?
I have no idea.
You're not wearing anything green. The Jack Daniels hat is kind of green. It's a dark
green. I guess you could say the jacket I'm wearing
you
is
You do
like
look
a,
like you were going hunting before the show.
Yeah, I kind of got a camo look to me.
Yeah, I get the camo look. I would answer Shaughnessy's question. How can an individual return to the same spa one day after getting pulled over by police and being asked to produce ID? Would anyone attend Oscar parties just hours after a news conference announcing his impending arrest? I mean, I would say there, hubris and arrogance. I mean, that's what when the police report was first released and we found out, wow, Kraft went to the spa the night before the morning of the AFC title game where he went back again, pulled over. I mean, A, I don't think he thought he was necessarily doing anything wrong, and B, arrogance. And that's what that is. This guy with a net worth of $6.6 billion. You figure you're untouchable. You're not going to get caught. So fine. Nothing happened. Let me go back.
That's a tough one to defend. How's a driver let him do that, too?
Well, different Bentley. He took two different Bentleys, two different
right.
days.
Yeah, so I understand that.
Probably different drivers. Maybe different drivers.
Man, it would have to be. Because you would think, or there was at least a conversation of, you sure, boss? You sure you want to? You sure want to head back there?
Some people call it cocky. I call it confident.
Yeah, but I mean, Shaughnessy asked, how could that? I don't think that says anything about Kraft's mental fitness. It just says that he's a very rich guy who thought he was above the law in this case.
I think Shaughnessy's drawing lines between things that aren't necessarily connected, to be honest with you. One, I legitimately ask how much, not only how much he's involved in the day-to-day, but how much he realistically needs to be
right
at this point. Maybe 20 years ago at the beginning of the Bill Belichick era in those early years, the Bucky Jones stopwatch years, or certainly even back to when he first took over the team when Bill Parcells was the coach and they had more tension about which players they were going to pick and what the direction of the team on the field was going to be. Now, I think it seems at least pretty well established. It's a machine. It's an absolute machine. And that's why, and I really thought you were going to go down the lines of, why haven't they signed a receiver? Why haven't they traded for a receiver at this point?
We're not off till 10.
Sure, we will.
Noon, rather.
But is anybody really, really that concerned about it? Does anybody really have... not give the benefit of the doubt.
It doesn't follow me throughout my day, but yeah, I'd like.
I think it follows you like a cloud.
I'd like to have
your worry about the Patriots not having a legit number 2/3 receiver.
I was talking about that. But I would.
But
I
do
would,
you want? Do you want an outside threat to take the top off the defense?
I want the top to be taken off the defense.
Right now, the defense is not topless, and you are upset about that. Plus, you don't know if Gronk's going to be back. All of these war, but
well, this
the is
longer a, Gronk sits out, the more questions I have.
This is a turnkey operation. It's there's yeah, just you, not
Chris,
a lot of there's
Chris,
not a lot
need,
of worry.
You need there. Receivers right now. They have no receivers.
Are we going down this road again?
I'm just saying you need people to catch the football.
And I have all the confidence in the world they will have people to catch the football.
Okay, but you
and
agree.
I also
there's
disagree.
Still work to be done.
I disagree with Ryan Hannibal, who wrote this morning. He had his seven.
Yeah,
thoughts
Sunday
or something.
Seven.
I only got through the first one, but the first one is the one I disagree with.
It's a Sunday staple.
Well, I know, but I like to...
Like Wani and Sunday mornings.
It's a long Sunday. I like to pace myself, so I got through the first of the Sunday seven.
Like to
I'll
pace
get the
your
other,
excitement.
Get the other six later. I didn't want to overwhelm myself first thing in the morning after being out last night at a concert. So the...
Was it a country show?
Yeah, Walker Hayes.
Oh my God.
Most likable guy in country music.
I know who that is.
He's gone through, you know, overcome a lot of demons, alcoholism, depression. He got dropped from his record deal. He was working at Costco like 2 years ago. Now he's selling out the House of Blues.
That's a good venue. I love the Hob House of Blues.
Yeah, it's a good spot. He has six kids. Well, actually, he has seven kids. One of them sadly died in infancy, but six children. He writes about his kids all the time as part of his songs. Very likable guy. You should give him a try.
Were you wearing your Jack Daniels hat while you were at the show last night?
I didn't have a hat last night. No. I didn't have a hat. I was wearing the
same
jacket.
That's a nice jacket. Very spiffy.
It is. It's
you're in your Sunday best.
Southern Tide, I think.
Very nice.
No, it is Southern Tide. My Southern Tide jacket. I only have so many clothes that fit now, so I have a very limited wardrobe. I need to.
Oh, because you're losing so much weight.
I went
humble brag, huh?
I went the Bradfo route, only without no disrespect to Awaken 180.
They do great work.
Sponsors,
but you've said it many times. You have worked out and eaten healthier.
I went old school.
That's the way to do it.
I went old school.
That's the way to do
it. What the hell are we talking about? Receivers.
They're going to have
receivers. They'll be fine.
You agree they need more guys though. So we agree.
Yes, they will get more guys.
Okay,
I wouldn't
Chris,
be surprised if there's a trade. I wouldn't be surprised if there's something. Oh, disagreeing with Hannibal. That's
yes.
it. I think that because he was wary of drafting a wide receiver if Tom Brady's not going to be at OTAs. I think Brady's going to be at OTAs this year. I think it is going to be a return to even after winning the Super Bowl. Chip on my shoulder because people doubted me and said I took a big step back last year. It's going to be that sort of Brady. Big, refocused offseason commitment. Yeah, he's still going to have fun and go skiing and live his life.
Oh,
when
talk about concerning.
When there's not, when it's not time to actually be there, when it's his time off, he's still going to enjoy that. But I think you are going to see, even though he was clearly focused enough, they won the damn Super Bowl last year, you're going to see more of the overtly focused Brady. In other words, at OTAs, working out with some of the younger guys. So if they draft a wide receiver, I think Brady will be there working with him, either with the team, maybe he'll go up to Montana and go throw with him and Edelman there, bringing that wide receiver on and getting him used to this complex Patriots
offense.
They'll
need to do more than just draft a wide receiver, though.
I think they can make a trade, too.
Yeah, trade.
Put it this way, Alex. I am not worried that on September whatever, when the Patriots kick off, And the banner goes up in Gillette Stadium, I am not concerned about the volume, variety, or talent of the weapons, spelled with a Z at the end, that Tom Brady
Why?
Will have.
They didn't have them this year.
I am not.
I know they won.
They won the Super Bowl.
Okay, but they won in spite.
But
of
also, a big reason they didn't have the weapons week one is because Julian Edelman was suspended.
Right, but Edelman's 33.
That was a big part
of that.
That
he'll be healthy all year. That's the track record for slot receivers in their mid 30s, not so great.
I'm saying he'll be healthy all year. I do. I'm not saying he'll be healthy the next 5 years. I think he'll be healthy this one. He's shown himself to be incredibly durable, as has Brady, by the way. I have all the confidence in the world that they will have enough depth there. And I'm counting on Julian Edelman being healthy. And that, by the way, any player or any team, rather, if their star wide receiver or even Brady, if your star quarterback gets hurt, you're going to take a dip. You can't go in saying we're going to account for and be ready for any conceivable injury. Edelman's going to be a big part of their offense no matter what. I'm saying they will add that depth between now and September. So don't worry about
it. But Chris, I mean,
don't let it follow you around.
You've been doing this for a while.
Let it follow you
it
around.
It is March 24th. Guess what? We do lots of shows
and there are
between
no,
now and September. So
we
are going to
talk about. We're going
to
talk about Nathan Eovaldi's cutter.
Yes.
Chris Sale extension.
I have lots to sift through there.
Sifting. We're going to sift.
We're going to sift through. Look at all these notes. I'm sifting, constantly sifting.
Like we're in the gold rush back in 49, baby. Just sifting through, looking for the nuggets.
Taking your craft calls at 617-779-7937. Owners meetings get underway today in Phoenix.
You don't want to take Blair's March Madness picks?
We'll get to Blair in a moment. So we think Kraft attends. He's expected to attend.
Yes.
They've issued the statement. Does he speak to the press at all these next few days?
I think he speaks to the press, but he does not address. He refers everybody to the statement.
How can you speak to the press and not address this situation?
I don't think it'll be a very substantive conversation with the press.
That's why I think, listen, if you're not going to expand on the statement, and I don't think Kraft will, I think he has no reason to with this ongoing case.
If it's going
to
hide, though,
if
he's going to show his face, then reporters are going to have some access.
But there's a difference between just kind of ignoring questions that are shouted to you when you're walking down the hall. I don't know if it's shouted. It's a very classy establishment, these orders.
I've done that before. There's no glory in it.
No glory in it?
Just yelling after Bernie Sanders as he's running away from you.
Right. So there's that. But then Kraft, every year at these owners' meetings, does...
Remember, I chased Marco Rubio through a hotel lobby once. That was fun.
You did?
Yeah, his security guy is not quick.
I was able
to get a step on him very easily.
And was this before your weight loss program?
Yeah, it was before. This is back, remember that was the day after he tanked in the debate and he just kept saying the same thing over and over again?
Yes, Christie called him out.
Chris Christie called him out, and then after he called him out, he then said the same thing over and over again after that. So I was asking him how he thought that was going to hurt him in the primary that night.
He didn't want to answer?
No, he didn't really like that question very much. He came in fifth.
What a sap Rubio is. But I think Kraft would look so bad if he held his annual owners' meetings powwow, which he usually does, and says, I'm willing to talk about anything except the biggest story in the country. He goes, okay, well, thanks for coming, Bob.
But he's already released a statement expressing contrition. I know it's not specific enough for you, but whatever.
I want specifics.
He released
what are you sorry for?
He released
I'm
a statement expressing contrition.
But what?
And as far as specifics go, legally, he's being told, and he'll probably say that, in deference to the judicial process, which was in his statement, he can't really get into specifics right now. And
so just
some reasonable people will understand that. Those who are predisposed to dislike this guy or like you just want him to, no matter what, whether they have a case or not, fall on the sword, admit guilt. I look forward to the day.
Michael McCann wants him to do that as well.
At some point.
Not just me. Smart people.
I think it's the easiest path.
That's
I agree with you in that regard. But I look forward to the day because it will happen. Eventually, you're going to get charged with some crime somewhere. I look forward to that day. And you will apparently just immediately plead guilty.
Oh, no.
Shortly after arrest.
No.
Even if the way that they gather evidence is illegal, even if the arrest is bogus, if it's a traffic stop, the traffic stop is bogus, you will plead guilty immediately because you are all about contrition.
Not at all.
Alex Reamer.
Not at all. I am not about contrition. No, it's nothing. Nothing is
just
my fault.
Just for Kraft.
Nothing is my fault. Yeah, just for Kraft. If your net worth is $6.6 billion, take the L with the misdemeanor. That's what I have to say. My net worth is about $300. I know.
There's no way you're in the positive. You have a car loan now.
Car loan is paid in the middle of the month, so we have a few more weeks till we have the car loan.
The loan
again
itself
April.
Is
oh, true.
Is all a negative
oh,
until
true.
You pay
I'm
it
red.
Off.
I'm in the red.
I don't know how many $1,000 it was, but it's
multiple.
I'm sure it was minus whatever your down payment was. That's your
I'm in the red
plus the interest.
Wow. So I'm part of that. Those Americans who don't have $400 for an emergency.
So that goes to your net worth.
It's a bad net worth.
That's going to stick with you. That's going to follow you the rest of the day. You're going to forget all about the Patriots receivers and think about your own poorness.
That's true. There's a lot of poorness. I was listening to OMF Friday. Fourier was challenging people to call in to criticize Tom Izzo for berating his poor freshman player. I was actually driving to Vermont in traffic, listening to Fourier beg for calls.
Where'd you find traffic in Vermont?
We're getting out of the city.
Oh, okay.
Getting out
That's
of the
fair.
City. The worst traffic in the country in Boston. Not sure if you know. I was almost going to call in, but then I said, I was on Friday morning. It's a little too much radio for one day.
It's a little too much Reamer, I think, for the listeners for one day.
And for Reamer himself. But I will tell Fourier, you hope you're listening. Tom Izzo looked like a buffoon. And you know what? I'll even say Bruce Pearl last night, carrying on the way he did in the sidelines. Looks like buffoons. We'll do that next as well with more Kraft Talk Sports Radio, WEF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.